Welcome to you who are visiting this morning. We're very glad you're with us. And we have some special people just to recognize this morning. All you survivors of the Day of Discovery yesterday, who put so much of your heart into that exercise and are still back here this morning, raise a hand if you were here for that. Good for you. A lot of them were at 8 o'clock. I think they've gone home and already taken their naps. And I see a lot of green out there today, so we want to remember those of you who have are here to remind us that this is the Feast of St. Patrick, the Englishman who became the great patron of Ireland, the great Irish evangelist. But today we're walking the way of the cross. It is Lent, and our readings, our gospel, and our preacher will remind us of some of the hardships and challenges of walking the way of the cross in Lent.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tout demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Hey, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
This day, Lord, may we dream your dreams. This day, Lord, may we do your work. Back when I was in my early 30s, my friend Terry Bryan, who was a river guide and an adventure travel guide, called me up one day and said, "I'm leading an exploratory trip down in the Patagonia region of Chile and Argentina. We're going to paddle some beautiful lakes, do a little hiking, and maybe do a first descent down a small river. Want to go?" "Sounds great," I said. "Let's do it." It was an amazing trip, and I'm glad I went. It was beautiful and wild country. We did indeed get to do a first descent of a section of the Rio de las Vueltas near the town of El Chalten in Los Glaciares National Park, Argentina. That was awesome. But what I didn't imagine when I told Terry, "Let's do it," was that I was going to have to take a hair-raising small plane ride through part of the Andes, or that after we landed, I was going to get stuck in the bathroom along the airstrip in the tiny town of Villa O'Higgins, that half the town would turn up to see me emerge after the mayor of the town rescued me. True story. I had no idea that the wind would blow so hard as we traversed Lago Viedma on the Chile-Argentina border as we paddled our inflatable kayaks across it for 2.5 days, that I would have to paddle as hard as I could for hours on end, because if I stopped paddling for more than 10 seconds at a time, I'd lose all the ground that I'd gained for the last couple of minutes. I never imagined how hard it would be to pry my fingers off that paddle when we stopped for a potty break or for lunch, or that all that nonstop exertion would bring me to tears of exhaustion from time to time. On our lunch breaks, I would spend most of my time lying as the least wind in a zone from the ground up about 6 inches. The wind howls in Patagonia, howls, and after a while, it drives you absolutely crazy. The wind even goes around corners. I swear this is true. There is no lee of the wind in Patagonia. It was a wonderful journey, but it certainly wasn't always easy. Dan Rather, the well-known journalist and news anchor, once said, "If all difficulties were known at the outset of a long journey, most of us would never start out at all." True words, aren't they? I bet most of you have stories about embarking on if you knew at the start what you knew at the end. It's getting into, but I think it takes even more courage to embark on a journey, even. In our gospel story today, Jesus is on a journey from Galilee to Jerusalem, and he knows what awaits him when he arrives in Jerusalem. He knows that every step brings him closer to death by crucifixion, a journey to our death when we could avoid it. We need this kind of significant, daunting, and frightening challenge. A group of Pharisees come to Jesus in this passage we just heard, and they warn him that Herod Antipas, the tetrarch of Galilee, and the man that beheaded John the Baptist right away, they come and warn him that Herod wants to kill him. "Get away from here," they say to him. But he brushes them aside. He has work to do. Casting out demons, healing the sick, and ultimately delivering us from sin and death. There's no turning away from this journey for Jesus. This is what he was sent to do. Jerusalem is where his work will be finished on the third day as he's resurrected from the dead. Even the certainty of his cross can't deter him from seeing this journey through. Now, Jesus isn't a comic-style superhero, some kind of man of steel. His courage doesn't come from invincibility. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It comes from his humanness, his vulnerability. His love for humanity is what gives him the strength and courage to embrace his dark and difficult destiny for the sake of us all. Like a parent, like a mother hen, he seeks to protect us and will face death to do it. Jesus' humanity makes him vulnerable, just as we're vulnerable. Mankind is what stirs his courage. His embracing his vulnerability, embracing who he was called to be for the sake. It is our spurs our courage and nourishes our strength simply because you can't, simply would not, or could not do for yourself. Vulnerability that also brings him sorrow from those he loves. His desire is to love us and protect us, gathering us under his wings, but we're unwilling. We turn away from him, spurning his love. His lament for Jerusalem is a lament for all who separate themselves from God. And he wants nothing more than for us to change our minds and our hearts, to transform our lives and turn back to him. At this point, the journey to Jerusalem is not over for Jesus, and there's time for the city to repent, to turn rejection into accepting love that Jesus has for its people, to meet Jesus' desire for compassion with a desire for healing and deliverance. And as we journey with Jesus to Jerusalem in our lives, and especially now in the season of Lent, we too have the opportunity to change our minds and transform our lives, to find strength and courage in our own vulnerability and in the love that we have for each other. Jesus continues on to Jerusalem not to prove himself fearless or a hero, David Loos explains, not to make a sacrifice for sin to a judgmental God, not even to combat death and the devil. Rather, Jesus marches to Jerusalem and embraces the cross that awaits him there out of profound love for the people around him, A mother's fierce love that will stop at nothing to protect her children. Profound love that gives us the courage and the strength to face the difficulties that we encounter on our own life, where we're vulnerable. And through his love assures us are enough and we never walk alone. He reminds us about who we've been called to be and that our love and care for others given out of our own vulnerability begets the kind of courage that Jesus himself embodied. We live in a world filled with fear, danger, hardship, hate, and disconnectedness. But if we're followers of Jesus of Nazareth, we know that there's a way that he's shown us to turn the nightmares of this world into the dream that God intends for us. The way of life and love. We resist responding to fear with fear and to hate with hate. Instead, we respond with love and with courage born out of vulnerability. Hope and reach out to those in need with our whole selves. We create relationship, overcome evil, despair, and hate. And spreading God's love in the world will be what ends tragedies. Love destroys isolation, creates hope, and fosters. We are called to love. Are we ready to walk this journey of love with Jesus? Can we find the courage to trek boldly in this broken world, sharing ourselves and our love and embracing our vulnerability in order to transform the world? As Christians, I believe we can. Because as our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, says, now is our time to go. News of God and Jesus Christ. To go into the world and help to... To go into the world. Let the world know that there is... Let us go. And that God's love can set us all free. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.